Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me, so that all who hear will laugh with me. A sense of humor is a precious thing, especially the ability to laugh at ourselves. A good sense of humor helps people work with each other from day to day. It enables a person not to take himself too seriously. Laughter is a sign of rationality, the ability to see when something is out of proportion or out of place. One sign that a child is growing up is that his jokes become really funny to an adult rational mind. Good laughter comes from the affection of truth. In comparison with the truth, falsity looks silly. When we can look objectively enough to laugh at our own sense of self-importance, or at some misplaced urge we feel, we have a tool that really helps in our reformation. On the other hand, contemptuous laughter can be very cruel. Sometimes teasing crosses the line from friendly to biting without our notice, and then it hurts rather than helps people. We sometimes laugh at ourselves, too, in a way that isn't very funny, because it isn't balanced and rational. It's too critical. So we read in our lesson, in laughter, there are very many things, such as usually something of contempt, which, although it does not appear, still lies concealed in it. How do we sort out useful laughter from what is not useful? First, let's see where laughter comes from. One kind of laughter simply comes from a naturally cheerful disposition. For example, little children playing sometimes laugh just because they're happy. Some cultures laugh a lot with good cheer and enjoyment of each other's company. Most laughter, though, comes from being affected by the truth. In a bad state, we enjoy the truth, but as a way of hurting others, or of elevating ourselves above them. In a good state, we simply enjoy seeing what is true. The way a stupid idea contrasts with truth is what makes absurd things seem funny. The focus is on ideas and qualities, not people. There is a laugh of recognition of something true, or of a characteristic of someone we love. The enjoyment is with the trueness of the idea or the characterization. In the Word, we find a few examples of humor and even sarcasm that give point to the truth. One of the clearest examples is the story of Elijah's contest with the prophets of Baal. The contest was to see whose God would be able to send down fire from heaven to receive a sacrificial bullock on the altar. Elijah wanted to dramatize the impotence of that idol and its prophets so that the people would return wholeheartedly to the Lord. So when Baal's prophets had leapt about their altar from morning to noon and there was no answer, Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is busy, or he is on a journey. Or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." The mocking drove the false prophets to try every way they could think of to get Baal to respond, even cutting themselves with knives so that their blood spurted out. But there was no answer. They could not later say that they had not tried hard enough. What a great contrast to the worship of Yehovah. Elijah solemnly rebuilt the Lord's altar out of 12 stones and placed the sacrifice in order on it. He soaked the offering 3 times with water and made a simple, powerful prayer to the Lord. Then there was a rush of fire from heaven that consumed the sodden offering and all the water in the trench. The people all responded, Yehovah, He is God. Yehovah, He is God. Mocking was used to sharpen the contrast and drive home the truth. Derisive laughter is even ascribed to Yehovah in two or three places, such as in the second psalm. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Yehovah shall hold them in derision. The Lord doesn't really laugh at the downfall of the wicked, but this expression powerfully represents the Lord's complete control over the hells. The only example of laughter in the New Testament is the scornful, bitter laughter of people who were sure Jesus was wrong when he said that Jairus' daughter was not dead, but only sleeping. The Gospels do not record a time when Jesus laughed. In the heavenly doctrine, there are many instances of laughter. We find examples of evil spirits laughing at the truth or at horrible spectacles of cruelty. But there are also stories in which Swedenborg laughs at the insanity of evil spirits. One time, he proved the absurdity of salvation by faith alone to the point that the man he was arguing with leapt up and grabbed a candlestick to throw it in his face. But the candle went out, leaving thick darkness, and so the man threw it in his companion's face instead, and Swedenborg went away laughing, presumably not at the other man's misfortune, but at the correspondence of throwing away a source of light. On another occasion, an evil spirit came to talk with Swedenborg. Swedenborg quickly closed his window because of the smell. Swedenborg asked him what he thought about heaven and hell. The spirit replied with a derisive laugh that heaven was nothing but the sky and outer space, and hell nothing but swamps and frogs, where simple people imagine they see devils. At this, Swedenborg couldn't refrain from laughing. He pointed out to the spirit that he himself had died and was now living in another world. The evil spirit's memory then returned, and he was terribly embarrassed. So he determined to keep this knowledge firmly in mind as he returned to hell and make fools of his fellow evil spirits there. But on the way back down, forgetfulness took over, and he was as insane as ever by the time he got home. Is it proper for Swedenborg to laugh at the evil spirits? Surely the angels don't laugh at people, do they? Yes, they do. For example, once angelic spirits were talking to newcomers about the other world, about the love of the opposite sex. The angelic spirits explained that in heaven, the love of the opposite sex is chaste, being without the allurement of lust. At this, the newcomers said, Oh, how dry is the joy of heaven. What young man can then wish for heaven? Is not such a love barren and void of life? And the angelic spirits laughed as they went on to explain the exquisite delight of a chaste love of the opposite sex that is truly sweet and full of life. The angels were laughing with joy at the contrast to unchaste lust, which soon burns out and is like nothing more than pungent dust. Another time, Swedenborg visited an angel's home near the Temple of Wisdom. When the man mentioned that his wife was nearby, Swedenborg said, I know that you are a wise man, but what does a wise man or wisdom have to do with a woman? At this, his host's expression changed with some indignation. He then stretched out his hand quickly from neighboring houses. Other wise men were present. To these, he said jestingly, Our newcomer here, for the purpose of learning, asks what a wise man or wisdom has to do with a woman. At this, they all laughed and said, What is a wise man without love? The wife is the love of a wise man's wisdom. The angel's good-humored laughter helps us see how mistaken Swedenborg was in thinking that wisdom is solely a masculine attribute. There is something of contempt in their laughter, but it is not at all directed against Swedenborg himself, but at the absurdity of the idea of wisdom apart from a wife's love. Their laughter is full of love for their wives. The angels then invited Swedenborg into a discussion of the purpose and source of feminine beauty as the inspiration to wisdom. Why did the Lord provide for the heavenly doctrine to be written in this way? For one thing, the Lord wants the word to be delightful to us, so that we will read it and think about it. For another thing, humor points up the foolishness of evil and falsity in an especially vivid way. The writings are a revelation addressed especially to the rational mind, and laughter arises from being affected by rational truth. Falsity is intrinsically laughable because it is not true. For example, the doctrine says, "Who can help laughing at the idea of three gods?" We read that there is usually something of contempt in laughter. To quote, "As long as there is in the rational a kind of affection that expresses itself in laughter, so long there is in it something bodily or worldly and thus merely human." Angels do remain merely human with bodily and worldly affections to some extent, so they laugh. In fact, it's almost impossible to imagine a human society without laughter. But the quality of their laughter is from the love of truth, with very little contempt for others in comparison with themselves. We can conclude that it is good for us to laugh as long as we minimize contempt for our fellow man. There is even a kind of contempt for others that does not have hatred within it, when we recognize that someone is not suited for a certain office. The following passage helps us sort out harmless, even necessary contempt from the kind that is dangerous to eternal life. We read, "Concerning contempt and hatred. I have often spoken with spirits concerning contempt or about despising others, that such contempt is of no moment when not prompted by love of self, so that one despises others in comparison with oneself and from hatred. The contempt from hatred is when one desires to rob another of his honor, goods, and life, and to despise others in comparison with oneself is to look upon them as nothing in comparison with oneself. This is contempt from love of self. Contempt of this kind is what condemns in the other life. But to look down on others for having no particular genius, talent, ability for this or that use, either as to functions or as to business or other areas, this does not condemn, for this cannot but exist with all people because they live in a society in which one must think about the other, as to whether they can associate one with another, and thus about the other's character, and whether he is qualified for certain functions or for this and that kind of business. This kind of contempt is of no moment in the other life, as it is easily dispelled when one is in love and charity, as then everyone is esteemed according to his actual character." From this passage, we can see that there is a kind of contempt that is unavoidable in human society that can exist in us apart from hatred or from despising others in comparison with ourselves. In this spirit, we might laugh to think of someone holding a certain office or job without considering ourselves more worthy or hating that other person. If we can laugh at ourselves or laugh with someone about a mistake or laugh at someone's false ideas without gloating over being smarter than they are and looking down on them, Laughter can help us keep things in perspective. Laughter should be the sign of a rational, balanced approach to life. Its soul should be a heavenly and spiritual affection of truth, which tempers the mocking, contemptuous, Ishmael quality of our minds. The most surprising thing we have to laugh about is the Lord's Word, the miraculous, wonderful blessings He promises us in spite of ourselves. The Word is full of things that are incredible, even absurd and laughable from a worldly point of view. Who can find any hard evidence of a spiritual world and a life after death? Who could think that those who truly humble themselves will be the greatest and happiest in heaven? Who could imagine that the Lord loves us as selfish and worldly as we are, and has the strength to lead us out of selfishness, and loves us so much that He would bless us with eternal happiness? It's incredible, yet it is truly rational, the only thing that truly makes sense. It is as surprising as a woman bearing a son in her old age. If we can only believe what the Word teaches with the conviction to live by it, we will say with Sarah, God has made laughter for me, so that all who hear will laugh with me. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.